And take our Bibles tonight to 1 Kings chapter number 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. We've been going through 1 Kings on Wednesday night and looking forward to the upcoming chapters. And you pray as the Lord leads us, thinking about switching it over to Sunday mornings for the summertime. Some great stories in 1 Kings 15, 16, 17, 18 dealing with Elijah. And but we might just leave it for Sunday night, Wednesday night. So we'll see how the God works that all out. But some great lessons that are here. If you remember last time, which I know was a few weeks ago, we started in chapter 13, finished part of the story, began another, didn't have time for it. So we're going to go back and read the entire chapter and tell the story as it goes along, like we often do on Wednesday nights. And then we're going to look at this thought: be careful who you listen to. Now, remember, we already looked at 1 Kings chapter 14. We talked about taking off the mask. We talked about Jeroboam's wife going and visiting the prophet. Here in chapter 13, you're going to see the story about the man of God. And we talked about the man of God that came from Judah. To give you a little background, remember, Jeroboam has been set up to be king over Israel. And as being king over Israel, he was promised by God, if he did what was right, he would establish his home just like he established David's home. He would establish it in Israel the way that God promised David in Judah. But he didn't do what was right. He did wrong. He did evil. Remember, he was the one that set up those calves and said, here, come worship here. One in Bethel, one in, I believe, in Dan. And upon that, God punishes him. God judges him, just like God does with sin. That's what he does. And in chapter 13, we remember that God calls this man of God. And I told you how I like that name. Man of God. Doesn't talk about a person's name. Doesn't give any place where he was from. What family he was from. It's just someone serving God, delivering God's message. So chapter 13, we'll start off. We've read verses 1 through 7 already. But just to give a little background on the story. And then we're going to look at this idea about be careful who you listen to. If you remember back a few more chapters before that, remember Rehoboam got in trouble for what? He listened to the young people that he grew up with instead of listening to the older council. That wasn't wise. In this story, you're going to see an older prophet giving bad counsel. Now, normally it's good to listen to your elders and listen to the respect, because there's a lot of things that they can learn. But there's some people out there that are wicked. It doesn't matter how old they are. If it's against biblical counsel, we shouldn't listen to it. And that's what you're going to see, because a few weeks ago we gave Rehoboam a hard time about turning away from the wise counsel of the older men to listen to the unwise counsel of the youthful men. But what was biblical and what wasn't is the point. So be careful you should listen to. I think you're going to enjoy the story. Some really interesting things in it. Some of the things where you just kind of scratch your head at and say, well, why did God let that happen? Or how did that happen? And let's just pick up here in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse number 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord, saying. So this was not something he did on his own. This was God's telling him to do something. This was God's word, by the word of the Lord, unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. We went over this before, talked about that. And it says that the man of God, he cried against the altar. So he's crying against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places and burn incense upon these, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. So this is years later. How would he know this? It's because it came from God. He didn't make this stuff up. If he would have gotten it wrong. We know he's a prophet because of the truth that's found later on in the chapters to follow. And he gave them a sign. He gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon the shall be poured out. Well, Jeroboam gets tired of hearing this loud preacher, this loudmouth preacher yelling at the altar. He's not even preaching to Jeroboam per se. He's preaching at the altar and the sinfulness of the altar. It came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard this saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. He was going to capture him, probably put him to death. And his hand, which went forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it again to him. Yeah, so you see the imagery that's there. He says, go get him. And then his hand dries up. He can't pull it back. It says the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. So this gives you a little background here. verse number 6, the king who was getting ready said, go get that man, you know, behold, lay hold on him. He changes his tune. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me. Jeroboam doesn't pray himself. He's talking to the prophet. He's talking about the person that has a connection to him. He said, pray for me in my hand, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God sought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and because of as it was before. Now, you would think at this point in time, Jeroboam would be repentive. Jeroboam would get right with God. We've seen this happen already, that he something, but you're going to see later on, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, he refuses to get right. Verse number 7. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now, back then, especially in Jeroboam's day, they would pay their prophets for the special things they did, especially the wicked prophets that were serving him. They did things, as it talked about Malachi, not for naught. The only reason why they would turn out the lamps is because they get money for it. That's not why we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord because we love the Lord, and we're thankful. It's an honor to be in his ministry. Verse number 8, and the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Now you see that sometimes when he says, give me half thy house. You know, that's kind of weird to say it that way. But what he's saying is, if you gave me, all a king can give is up to half his possessions, because if he gave up more than half his possessions and his authority, no longer would he be the one in charge. So you heard Herod say to the daughter that danced in front of her, he says, I'll give you whatever you ask, up to half of my kingdom. Because if he gave up more than half, then no longer would they be the one that's in charge. The guy says, if you gave me everything you would be able to give, I still wouldn't go home with you. And he says, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Remember, this is a very wicked place. This is a man of God, doesn't want to have anything to do with this wicked place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord. God had told him this ahead of time. He was going to be tempted with this. Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So God gave him specific instructions. He says, I don't want you to eat. He doesn't say, I don't want you to feast. He doesn't say, I don't want you to get steak and things like that. He says, no, don't even eat any bread or any water, and don't even go back the same way. Go a different way. And so he went another way. He's being obedient. And returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. You think an old prophet in Bethel, he's probably somebody who's living for God. Well, if he's still in this area, it's more than likely there he's not doing what's right. He's probably an evil prophet. And we can see he is evil in what he does. And he says, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. So the sons run home. They said, Dad, something supernatural happened. Something happened at sacrifice today that never happened before. You know, this man came out. They were preaching against the altar. Jeroboam tries to capture him. His hand withers up. The man of God prays for him. The hand comes back. And their father's interested here. Their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. Now, why does he want to go see him? Does he want to be near the man of God? What's the purpose of this? The old prophet who has been probably in favor of the calf, you know, and listening to the calf, he doesn't want this man of God to show him up. He wants to go see if he can talk to him, and he wants to see if he can cause him to do what's wrong, it seems like, in this passage of Scripture. His intention is to get the man of God to not look so good, I believe, as you see here as it goes along. And verse number 14, he went after the man of God and found him sitting under oak, and he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Now, we see the same response. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. To me, when I'm reading that, I see the preaching. He's preaching kind of, he's saying it's hard. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to eat bread. I'm not going to drink water. I'm not going to even go into your place. And this is verse 17. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink. He's saying, why? We're there. Nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet, also as thou art. So the old prophet looks at the young prophet and says, I'm just like you are. And that's what people will do many times. When they want you to do what's wrong, when they want you to try to come over to their way, if they're, I believe just like you do, we're just alike, and if somebody wants you to turn from doing things that God's called you to do, oh, we're just the same. And that's what he says here. I am a prophet just as you are, or also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me. He's saying that he had a supernatural thing that happened. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Now, here's the thing is, this man doesn't seem like he has much morals or much conscience. He says that the angel says something to him from the word of the Lord, and is trying to cause a good man to do wrong and do bad. You mean there's people out there like that? There certainly is. All throughout the Bible, even the day and time we have that we live in, there are false prophets. There are people out there that will question the things of God and contradict the things of God and try to get good people to do what is wrong, and they have no conscience about it. They feel no conviction about trying to turn people from doing what is right. How many times do we see people try to get us to do what's wrong just for the intention of proving that we weren't as good as we thought we were? Let's keep on going. But he lied unto him. He's trying to corrupt this man. So he went back with him. So we see the man of God gives in. Went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. Now this is interesting. So they're sitting at table. The man of God is sitting there eating and drinking, not like he's not supposed to. And the word of the Lord comes to the old prophet, and he gives the old prophet a chance to give a prophecy to the man of God. God obviously is upset for the disobedience that's here. Remember, too much who is given, much is required, and God gave him the opportunity to preach against the altar, gave him the opportunity to heal Jeroboam in front of many people, but he still disobeys. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table in verse number 20, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread, and drunk water in the place, of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. So he says you're going to die before you get home. And he's saying that you're not going to make it back to the sepulchre of your fathers, which is a dishonorable thing in this day and time. It's funny when someone who's wrong and trying to get you to do wrong, and you end up doing wrong, they said, you shouldn't have done it anyway. I don't know about you. I've seen people try to convince somebody, oh, yeah, you go do it. They never stick up for you. Instead, they're saying, hey, look, you shouldn't have done it. It's your own fault. It was your choice. And that's what this man, and God is speaking through this man, we see this here, and speaking through this wicked prophet, saying, you're not going to make it back home. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. So it seems like he's trying to be nice to him. It seems like he's getting him ready, sending him back home. And he's sending him back home what? He's sending him back home to die. It's sort of like the bartender that will get a person drunk on all their booze and then call the cab to go take them home. You know, it's like, well, I don't care about you. As long as you've done what I want you to do, I don't mind being nice to you. And when he was gone, a lion, so this is the man of God, it's going in his way. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast away. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. This is one of those head-scratching things. So the lion comes, knocks the man off the ass, kills him, and the lion stands there, and the ass just stands there. Let's keep on reading, see what happened. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. So he had gone a little ways, and they come back into the city. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. He says, yep, that's what he said was going to happen. That's what happened. And he spake to his sons, and he said, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him, and he went and found his carcass cast in the way. and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. So more than likely when a lion kills something, it's there for food, but he doesn't consume the carcass. He also does not kill the ass. It's something that's supernatural that's happening there, something God is allowing to happen for people to see. You know, the old prophet would see it. Every person that passed by, and they would have heard the story. And God is getting the glory from the fact that, you know, he's going to punish disobedience. But he also is losing the glory because this man of God, who in front of Jeroboam, in front of all these people, performed this miracle, now he's laying dead. Let's keep on going. And he laid it in verse 29, and the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. What's the connection here? I think the old prophet is an evil prophet, and he's trying to gain some favor of God by mourning for this man and by having this man buried in his tomb. And it came to pass that after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of God is buried, lay my bones beside his bones. And the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against the house of the high places, which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. Now, it's kind of interesting because of the fact he's saying this is definitely going to happen. Verse number 33. After this thing, Jeroboam, the emphasis is put back on Jeroboam. What do we see here? Is he finally going to get right with God? He's seen his hand be restored. He's seen this supernatural thing about this man being slain. The ass is still standing there. The lion's still standing there. This is getting back to Jeroboam. Is he finally going to get his heart right? And it says, after this, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him. And he became one of the priests, and he became one of the priests of the high places. Remember, he talked about the lowest people, making them the priests. He continued to do his wicked things. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it off the face of the earth. Chapter 14 begins the introduction of Jeroboam's son being sick, and that how the judgment that's going to fall upon Jeroboam. We looked at that a few Sunday mornings ago. So let's look here for just a few minutes about be careful who you listen to. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this scripture reading. I know it was longer than normal. And Lord, it's an easy story to follow like many of these stories are. Sometimes we wonder why it's in here. Show us and teach us things, Lord, that we need to learn. There's some truth in here that you have preserved in your word, and it's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for rebuke. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for living in righteousness. And Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. Let us learn some important truths here. And Lord, teach us to get our hearts right. Jeroboam's heart was so hard that despite all the things that happened, he still would not get right. And that caused him to lose his kingdom, but also lose his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first thing I want you to think about is there's three simple points. And first thing is there will always be those who contradict God's word. You can always find somebody who will contradict God's word. Satan will always have someone that will tell you it's wrong and you shouldn't do it. They'll find something. And that's exactly what happens. This old prophet from Bethel hears about what happens to this new man of God, this young man of God. He doesn't like it, so he wants to go and see what's going on. He wants to see what he can learn from him. Or we can see how he's doing here. He's trying to moralize him. He's trying to get him to do what's wrong. Because when this man of God was lifted up, what are the people going to say about the old prophet? Well, the old prophet didn't have a problem with the calf, but this man of God from Judah, these things, he has no interest in helping this man of God. He goes in this vernacular, he goes with this disguise. I am coming to give you some truth. I'm trying to give you some help. I'm trying to give you and tell you something that's going to help you. I have a new word from God. It came from an angel, and he is telling me to tell you this. Be careful. There's a lot of false prophets out there. You think about it, from back in the Garden of Eden with Satan all the way till the false prophet in the end times, there's going to be people there that will contradict the word of God. There are going to be people there that try to pretend to be an antichrist, or we would call them an antichrist. Think about what the devil said to Eve in the garden. He got him to question and contradict God's word. Yea, hath God said. And then he says later on, ye shall not surely die. And then he goes and says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now this man could not have convinced the man of God with those words. But he could convince the man of God and say, hey, look, God came to me just like he came to you, and he told me to tell you to come back and eat bread with me. He said, well, where do you know the truth is? What do you know? How do you tell what the truth is? Never question what God's word says. And when God has spoken to you and God has given you something that you know is truth, guess what? You should stick with it. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. He says, which is not another, talking about a gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now listen to these things. But though we, and Paul is including himself, he has preached the gospel, he has truth there, he has told them the truth, and he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which be preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he says, if it goes contrary to what the Bible says, it doesn't, even if it's a manifestation from heaven, if it's some type of angel that comes down and tells you that the gospel is by through works and not by grace, or the gospel is you can get to the gospel, everybody gets to God, you know, that, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. He says, don't ever allow someone to persuade you away from the truth that you find. And he even says in the next verse, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And what the scripture is saying there, be careful who you listen to, because we're not trying to listen to please a prophet. And once again, I don't think you should try to live to please me. Now, don't get me wrong, as the pastor of the church, I have a certain responsibility. I have a certain God-given authority, a biblical authority. And, you know, there are certain things that if, you know, we ask you to do these things and there are church guidelines, of course you should be obedient. You should listen to those things and you shouldn't be rebellious. That's obvious. But we're talking about, you don't live your life to please me. You don't live your life to say, man, I wish and I'm hoping. No, we live our life to please God. And hopefully, as you please the Lord, then other people will congratulate you, and other people will even almost be encouraging to you and lift you up and say, let's go. But you don't ever try to live to please a man. You live to please the Lord. And if I ever preach things that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then let me be accursed. And that's what the Bible's saying here. This old prophet from Bethel was there, and he says, no, you got it wrong. There's a new revelation. There's a new inspiration. There's something new out there. You need to listen to that. And that's what goes against what the Bible says. That's exactly what Paul was teaching. You don't need to look for what's, quote, unquote, the next and newest and best thing. What we need to do is stick with the things that we know is truth. So how can you tell a false prophet? How can you tell a false prophet? It'd be nice if they wore it across their forehead. I am a false prophet. I am an apostate. You know, but they don't. And many times, people are eloquent, and many times they have a lot more talent than some other preachers, and they're easy to listen to. But the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. First John, and John was telling the church, he says, look, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. There is a lot of false prophets that have gone out in the world. There's a lot of people that are preaching and teaching different things in the Word of God. And when they speak up and they say things, you mark them. You show them that. When Joel Osteen talked about, you know, I don't like to preach about sin. Well, you know what? Sin is what shows us we have conviction and a need of salvation. And you know, there is just truths out there of people who do not preach and teach. And they might have good messages and they might be self-help things. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not biblical preaching. And it's something we got to clue into our hearts and our minds. What is truth? And believe the truth. This man had truth directly from God. God came and spoke to him in a special, specific way, a word of the Lord, to go and preach against that altar and then to go straight home. But he listened to someone else. And how can you tell a false prophet? Unfortunately, it's not by its appearance. This prophet from Bethel, you couldn't tell it. It was a nice man. He, you know, you want to respect your elders. You want to honor them. But it's not by his appearance. Because many, as the Bible says, are wearing sheep's clothing. They come into the church, they have sheep's clothing on, and they are ravening wolves trying to destroy the church. It's not by his appearance, but it's by his message. We remember it's by the message it's being taught. If he is telling you anything that is contrary to the word of God, then he's a false prophet. He's a false preacher. You know, if he's telling you you can be saved by good works, then it's wrong. If he's telling you that all roads lead to God, then he's wrong. We have to make sure we don't make the same kind of choice Eve did. Eve made the choice to sit there and listen to that snake and say, that makes sense. Why would God, you know, is it our job to question God? Now, once again, I know if we go to him and we speak to him, it's not like he's some guy up there in the clouds that's going to zap you just because you question, because there are people who ask sincere questions in the seeking manners. When we seek God, we seek God's way. There's so often when there's something in Scripture I don't really understand, I'll say, God, I want you to show me, I want you to teach me. But I'm saying God says something specifically in his word and we know it's truth. Guess what? No, we're not supposed to question it. We're supposed to do it. And are we going to gamble with our eternal destiny with these false prophets? Are we going to gamble with our success as a believer with listening to other people? And I hope not. So there will always be people who contradict God's word. And there are always going to be people in your life. The devil's going to have one person after another person after another person. They come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. They come in all forms. They come in all different types of relationships. Sometimes it's people inside your family. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's mentors. It depends. Are they telling you what the word of God says? Try the spirits. Second thing, not only are there always be those that contradict God's word, like the devil to the false prophet at the end, but also you can trust God's word. It's trustworthy. You go through the scriptures, you see time and time again, God has honored his word. God has always obeyed his word. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And that's even what this old prophet is saying. That when it happens, he says, this was the guy who disobeyed. This was the guy who didn't listen. And he says, surely this is the person that disobeyed and was not obedient. God said in verse 26, and when the prophet had brought him back from the way he heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of God. You go down to verse number 33, and it says, and after these things, Jeroboam returned not. In verse 32, it talks about how all the things were going to happen. It says, for the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against the houses of the high places, which are the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. So he got it. He understood. He says, this was the prophet. This was the man of God. Now, all those things he said before, that's definitely going to happen. Why is that going to happen? Because it came from God. We can trust in it. We can believe in it. And I know sometimes it's hard to see the promises. I know sometimes it's hard to stay true. I know sometimes it might feel like everything else is going wrong and it'd be so much easier to give in, be so much easier just to go back and eat the bread and drink the water and just say, what's the big deal? I don't see what the problem with that is. But the Bible is true and the Bible will not fail and the Bible will not pass away. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 41, when Joseph was giving that interpretation of the dream to Pharaoh, he says, and for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It's because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. You know, this thing is established by God, and God will definitely surely bring it to pass. And in your life, if you're faithful to God and his word, he will bring it to pass. Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Joshua, giving his last speech to the children of Israel before he goes and passes away, says this, I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. He says, not one thing has he not made happen. Not one thing is not true and real. And it's the same thing with all his words and his promises. So the third thing. First thing is, there's going to be people who contradict God. There's going to be people who contradict his word. They're going to be there. They're going to be on TV blaspheming his word. They're going to be on TV calling it out. They're going to be friends. They're going to be everyone's going to sit there and do things that are contrary. And it's not new. It's happened all throughout scriptures. And you think about it, Noah in his day was one that had been faithful in his family. The rest were contrary to God, didn't believe his word. The third thing. Some people will refuse to get their heart right. Some people will refuse to get their heart right. And we don't like this point. I don't like this. And I believe that anyone has the opportunity, has the ability to. But there are people we try to reach, and we try to reach, and we try to reach, and they refuse. And you see about Jeroboam here, it's a perfect example. God took him from that family that we learned a long time ago about him, and he brought him up to become a warrior. And then Solomon had made him an exalted position. And then God gave him the 10 tribes over Israel. And then God gave him the opportunity to have that established kingdom forever. And then, remember what he did? He says, I know what God's word says, but I'm going to do what I think is best. And he began to build false altars. He began to build false gods and told them to worship here and worship here. Don't go to Jerusalem to worship. And he began to cause his family to sin. But you would think after his hand withered and God healed his hand, it would have been, hey, God must be right. Everyone else must be wrong. Didn't happen. Then when you have the story about the lion sitting there and the ass sitting there and the carcass sitting there, probably one of the most interesting sights you would ever see, because it says that they sat there for a while because they went into the city, they went and got the older man, they saddled the ass and went and got the body, and the animals were still there. It's an interesting thought there. Why was it there? And the thought there is that it's showing him and teaching him that this was from the Lord. This was supernatural. So Jeroboam still doesn't get right. It's discouraging to us. The Bible says, he that being often reproved harden of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. But, and we think about characters in the Bible that were like that. Pharaoh. And you think about Pharaoh, the 10 plagues, losing his firstborn, all the different things that happened. His heart was still hardened. I think about Judas. One-on-one encounters with Jesus, walking with him, and still not getting right. We pray for them. I get that. You say, Pastor, well, how does that apply to us? Is there a sin in your life that's been so hard that you haven't been willing to get right? Is there something that you can't have victory over? And I know there's a difference between those people who do not believe in God, who aren't on their way to heaven like Pharaoh and like Jeroboam and us. But I also know sometimes that a believer's heart can become hard. And we become hard to a certain specific thing that we don't want to get right. And this may be that one thing that is holding us back in our Christian walk, that one thing that is stopping us from serving him like we should. And I see the story here, and this makes me want to cry, because this man never got it. And you see what it says in verse number 34, and this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam. It translates and keeps on going down. Even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. Sin is a very dangerous thing. Don't play with sin. And you say, Pastor, it doesn't seem just. It doesn't seem fair. The old priest, that old prophet that was wrong and bad, he got to live. But the man of God that did what God told him to do, for at least portion of it, he had to die. You know, what's the purpose there? You know, God is not going to sit there and bless someone and then allow you to mock him by doing completely opposite of what he told you to do. that man of God was lifted up in front of the eyes of the people. Even the sons of the prophet ran home to the old prophet and said, he did this and he did this and he did that. And Jeroboam couldn't move his hand. He was going to die. A king was going to kill him and he couldn't move his hand. And Jeroboam had to humble himself and say, pray to God that my hand would be healed. That man of God was lifted up in the eyes of the people. They said, there's a man of God. But when he disobeyed, you see what happened. There's a man of God that disobeyed also. Let's listen to God's word. Let's not trip up over little things. If we know God's word says it, let's believe it and believe it with our whole heart and move forward with that. Let's be careful who we listen to. I know some of us have friends that aren't saved. I don't think they should be your closest friends. I know some of us have people in our lives that are we spend time with and we let them influence us. Be very careful. If they're contrary to the word of God, that's not the person you should let influence you. Listen to what the word of God said. Try the spirits. Be careful who you listen to. Rehoboam was bad and wrong because he chose not to listen to the old men. Here, the man of God shouldn't listen to the old man. He should have listened to what the Lord says. He is first and foremost. Let's make sure we're being careful to who gives us our counsel. It should come from God, first of all. Let's go ahead and stand.